One Adam 12.
Yay. Hello, everybody.
That's my Barack Obama.
Hello, everybody. Buenas tardes.
This is One Adam 12. That's my naming for my podcast, the daily podcast that everyone's jumping on. I apologize that I'm a day behind. So tomorrow, today, by the way, is June 23rd, 2011. Tomorrow will be 2 Adam 12. And, of course, eventually that should be a Blork mark. Makes a lot of sense. So, yeah, as I said, apologies. It's been a little bit crazy around here on Wednesdays and Thursdays. It gets really busy. Wednesdays, I essentially record three podcasts. They're video podcasts. They're interviews with book authors. And it's pretty fun because if they're not in studio, then I do it via Skype. And so it ties up a lot of material. And time, and of course with video, there's a lot of editing and rendering and lots of stuff going on. And then I, you know, Wednesday night I start prepping pretty early to get on to bed on time. 5:30 a.m. Thursday morning is when the alarm clock rings, and that's when we start the No Agenda show. So anyway, this is it's fun. Thank you, Dave Jones. Thank you, Dave Weiner. Joe Marino also popping into the mix there. It's very cool. I'm really enjoying this. This is kind of a new way of all of us communicating. And so this will be quite separate from any of my other shows. This is actually kind of a podcast, which I think will be reasonably for a small group. So Dave Weiner totally figured out he didn't like the quality, or actually it wasn't so much the quality as the audio levels on his first Dave cast, which really sucked from an audience perspective because I had to, you know, I was listening to it on my Android and I had to do some errands, wanted to drive out and listen to it, but it was so soft that even the Android, which as far as I'm concerned, its volume can go a bit louder than the iPhone. Even that wasn't enough, and I was really driving with one finger jamming one of the earbuds into my ear. And I figured you'd probably figure out that it was too low, and you'd do something about it, which you did. And I'm happy to hear that you use the iPhone built-in memo recorder, which is a great. I use it for lots of things. Actually, it's a great application. I think it's free. It comes with the iPhone. And what's great about it has that VU meter, so you can literally just see, you know, where your level is. It's instant feedback, and it really is great. It has there's a downside to it currently, which I'll get to in a second. But first, of course, we're Blorking and using the podcast feature of Blork. And this popped. I put this on the mail list today, and Dave asked that we take it off the list or talk about it off list. Well, here we go. This is the upload limitation. And so there is a file limitation, although it has to do more with the amount of memory that the OPML editor has on the server when you're uploading. It's the way it's going up. I think Dave actually, I thought I had a, oh, maybe I didn't. I thought I had a, his notes about, well, yeah, here it is. The whole file is being uploaded to an in-memory object on the server. That's uploaded then to S3. Amazon has an API somewhere in the directory for uploading from the user to S3, skipping the server. That's what we need here. So I upload pretty big file sizes, and I upload a lot. So I have a lot of experience with using the podcast feature of the Blork server. And daily, I'm doing about two files that are each 5 to 10 megs in size. That's never an issue. But then twice a week, I upload a larger file, and that's usually one of these interviews. And if they go over like 20 minutes with the compression settings I'm using, somewhere around 50 megabytes is where my server at least starts to run out of memory. And sometimes it will post the file, and it will get into the feed, only it does throw the error. And so I've actually had where the error popped up 3 times in a row. And by the way, when you're uploading, you know, 50, 60, 70 meg files, it's a wait. It's frustrating when it then fails at the end. But then it turns out that it's actually in the feed 2 or 3 times. So all is not lost. So I did actually Google around, and I can't believe that this would be the way to do it. Although the picture on this page, and I actually put it into my I have a prep outline, which simultaneously are my show notes, and you can find it at worknotes.curry.com, June 2011, and then of course 6/23/11. That's where you'll find this link. Is Amazon S3 browser-based uploads using Post. And has a little picture of what I think exactly is what we need. You talk to your server. Actually, here it says, one of the primary advantages for using Post is to avoid proxying user uploads via your own web server to Amazon S3, which sounds exactly like what we're doing. For example, if you have a photo sharing website, why you use this to upload content directly into Amazon S3, your web server can now serve a standard HTML form that will allow your users to upload their content directly into Amazon S3. Using Post, and it shows a little picture of the user talking to the web server, then the file being uploaded directly from the user's web browser to S3, and then getting a response back from the web server, which sounds right, although this is from 2007, this document, so I have a feeling that that this may not be the way to go, and we may need an API solution. But quite honestly, we need something, and I know that right now... someone should work on this, and it probably shouldn't be Dave, because he's working on all the Dave Weiner. He's working on all of the style stuff, and his head is way deep into CSS. So it'd be great if someone else could take a look at that. I'm pretty useless when it comes to that level. Certainly, if it went to the API REST type stuff. But anyway, I hope that link is helpful. Now, the download side, this is very interesting, where I had a problem which I identified, which was not discussed on the list, but I figured something that needs to be off list as well. The way I have my, I have a static river server, and all it does is it renders static rivers. I have about five. And so it's basically just River 2 running full speed all the time. It's actually running on Rackspace now, so it's really nice and calm. It doesn't do too much, so I figured I could configure that as my podcatcher. And the way I have it set up is it downloads the files, and I will say I have it set up specifically so that it's not downloading subscriptions from other people. So on my Radio 2, my Butte Blork server, where people can subscribe to other feeds, it would be kind of useless to have a podcatcher there, because it's going to download shows that I'm not interested in. And it downloads a lot more. In fact, we'll talk about that in a second. Downloads images as well, which was part of the whole Blork. And it's in the Butte UI. We have a podcast page and a photos page. So I configure an OPML file, which I put in my public Dropbox, which is, again, an Amazon S3 synced folder. That's on my desktop, and that's where I manage my podcast, which is really, really nice, because I can just add a feed there, save it, boom, and no matter where I am, I can, if I don't have a copy of the OPML editor, I can download it, and I can then use it on a computer locally, and I can open up that file, and I can save it if I want to change it. But it's a real fast, real beautiful way to manage your podcast subscriptions. And then, as I said, on the editor side, on the server side, it's configured to a Dropbox folder, and that synchronizes with my desktop as well. And anything that I want to podcatch is downloaded to that, stored in a neatly named folder. And it's really great because I can also get that on my iPhone, which I'm not using anymore, but I do use my Android. Has a free Dropbox client. So I can just go there, go into the folder, select the file I want, download it to my, just one, it's really one click, download it to my Android, and I can open it up in the music player, which comes standard, at least on my phone. And that's a really good one, because if you stop listening to a podcast, even if you reboot the phone, it will remember where you stopped listening. Thank goodness. So I got Davecast number one, which was an MP3 file, which Dave recorded on some other device, I think. Now, the memo recorder in the iPhone records an M4A file. That's an MPEG-4, and it's a quite specific file format, which, of course, is three times the size. The first podcast, the first Davecast was 3 megs. The second one was about 9. maybe even closer to 10. But it didn't automatically download into my Podcatcher folder. And I could not, and I did get Dave Jones's podcast today. So I knew that it was essentially working. Of course, I always go and do a test and see if it looks like my system's working. I went to see if my feed hadn't got, if Dave's link blog feed hadn't gotten misconfigured or unconfigured somehow for my subscriptions file. It was still there. I looked in the feed. I could see the enclosure, and that's when I saw it was an M4A. And I went looking around in config.root to see if there's a setting, what type of files the River 2 aggregator will download. Couldn't find it, so it's apparently not user configurable. Then I went into the River 2 suite and found river2suite.newitem. And there's quite clearly states if a file name ends with .mp3, it's then a it equals podcast and will be downloaded. And there's a couple other MIME types, and one of them is type audio / MPEG, then it will be a podcast. Unfortunately, the MIME type for M4As is audio / MP4, and as far as I could tell, that is not in this script, and I don't know if it's somewhere else, but I don't think so. So it's not considered a podcast, ergo is probably not being downloaded, which made me very sad because I didn't have the joyous, oh, there's a new podcast experience, which I like. That's like the beauty coming to you in the morning. Now, I could, of course, add that into the river2suite.newitem script, but that's, I've learned, not a good idea. So I'm saying it here, and perhaps what we should look at doing, well, there's a couple things just for future Blork functionality. First of all, it'd be nice if we could put in MIME types in the config.root database as new to make, to define whether a certain file type or MIME type is a downloadable enclosure or something that I want downloaded. Or we could just add audio / MP4, and that would pretty much handle this one particular instance. On this topic, I really don't like pictures being downloaded, and a lot of people put, I don't know if it's their blogging software or how it's being done. It's probably WordPress scraping something and determining that a JPEG is a picture. I don't know what it is. I really despise my folders filling up with pictures because these are typically little thumbnails. Fast Company is the biggest offender, in my humble opinion. I don't know if they're offending or if the way Blork is set up is doing this, but that folder is just filled with hundreds of icons and pictures, and I don't want it. I'd love to be able to turn it off. Configurable for what type of MIME types I want to accept, and perhaps one day, because I think it is a great, it's almost like, what is the thing Dave's always talking about, that BitTorrent service, get.io, or I don't think that's what it's called, where you basically give it a BitTorrent file, it downloads everything onto its server, and when you want it, you just download the already downloaded file. I love this feature of the Blork server, only it's not a per-user feature. I think if people knew it, I think it's a great podcatcher, and if people could just configure their own Dropbox folder, I'm not quite sure, you know, and it could get pretty gnarly based upon how many people are on the server and how big the files are that they're downloading, and you know, of course we can set limits on the folder sizes, how much it can fill up. But wow, how amazing would that be if my entire community on my Blork server, now about 150 people, could also just open up a Dropbox folder and have the podcast they want synchronized onto all their devices and everything, all through one service. It'd be very, very nice. So that would be great. So that's it for the podcasting. By the way, you know, it's not a problem. I figured out that that Dave had done a podcast and I downloaded another way. But the joy, my favorite part of the experience is when it's just there and it's like, well, I love it. It's happening on my system in the background and there's some love. I want to bring this up because maybe I misunderstood the... this is back when we had the Instant Outliner. Maybe I misunderstood what my mission was. But Dave created something new in scripting 2.root, actually scripting 2data.root. I use the scripting 2 bookmarklet a lot because I like to be on a web page, just save something into a separate file, which actually I do create an RSS feed out of it. And when I'm doing my show prep, so all day long, if I find a web page, I highlight a little bit of text, boom, I capture it. I could do this with Blork, but what I like so much about this is it actually opens up an outline and puts the link, and if it'll be a collapsed node with the title and then the link with the description underneath. It's totally right on from my production process because I do all of that in outlines. So I use this a lot, and I was getting a lot of garbage data, and this is the whole, I'm butchering what it is, but it's the double byte encoding, invariably would happen is I would have to close the OPML editor, or maybe it froze or crashed, or I just wanted to clean stuff up and restart it, and because of these junk characters, if I then use the scripting to bookmarklet again, I would open up. It would try to open up the outline with my already saved data, and it would say, "Sorry, malformed XML," and basically my beautiful outline would be lost, and I'd have to go onto the server and find a previously saved version. Which, by the way, is amazing. All these OPML files that get saved everywhere. But it was just work, and it sucked, and it looked ugly. So Dave created two tables, or at least one table, which is, let me see if I have it here, scripting to, why can't I find this? I thought it was scripting to data.prefs.replace table. And as an example, he showed me xml.rss.data.replace table, and this is where he has a lot of these crazy characters on one side as the... it's a table essentially, and then the string replacement for that crazy messed up character. So what I understood my mission to be was to start collecting more of these crazy characters and creating substitutions for them. And I now have a table of, I don't know, 15 different characters. Maybe I was supposed to create some kind of distributed project and have more people doing this, but I've gotten it to a point where I pretty much have not been able to find any other really bad characters. I'm sure they're out there, probably in different languages, stuff that still doesn't work yet. I'd love to export what I have in the scripting to data.prefs.replace table into my Blork server's xml.rss.data.replace table so that my users, the No Agenda community producers, will have less of these errors showing up in their Blork posts. but I don't know if I misunderstood. I think I got it right. I've actually looked at the world outline code. If some of this upload code utility, if that would enable me to do that. Maybe I didn't understand it right. But of course, that would mean I'd have to... You know, I don't know. I don't fucking know. But that does bring us to World Outline, which I'm so jazzed about because my entire world lives in the World Outline. Although I'm not the best guy at organizing, man, it certainly has helped me organize a lot better, especially since everything is just in one file. I love it. In fact, I'm in the studio now, and I just brought up, just opened up the OPML editor, opened up the prefs for World Outline, filled in my info. And boom, there it is. Everything formatted the way I left it on my other computer when I was prepping for this podcast. Just fantastic. And I guess I'll just say that I'm very anxious to bring users in. As I said, 150 people on Blork who are already there. They're already asking about it. I love that they're being teased with this sign in and that they can't get to anything yet. We're not ready for it. The Blork marking is a big part of this. And I'm telling people, they're registering domains, pointing to noagendashow.com, and I tell them that there's going to be some cool stuff on the horizon that they can do with these domains, and everyone's excited, including some high school kids who have like schoolproject.org or something, and they want to put school papers up and have domain names assigned to it, and it's really phenomenally cool. And I guess when we were on the conference call, we talked about a podcast node. So I can totally see how you have a podcast feed that's just an OPML file maybe for a subscription list. You paste in your world outline, and it expands and gives you the most recent episode. I mean, the mind just boggles with this stuff. And in fact, just about every single night, I go to sleep thinking about what the world outline can do next. It's more than just a floor wax and a dessert topping. It's fucking awesome. Hey, 20 minutes. Time for me to stop. I'll be back tomorrow. And thanks for listening to 1 Adam 12.